All right, I want to tonight, in our Signs and Wonders series, talk to you about faith. We've got this scripture here, everything is possible for everyone who believes. It's a scripture that I often preach from, it's perhaps even a scripture that you often quote yourselves. And it's the truth of God's word. Everything is possible for one who believes. But I won't ask you to put your hands up because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to embarrass myself. But how many of you know that you would like to see more of your prayers answered? And that we say that nothing is impossible, but so often we don't see the reality of the impossible being possible. We don't see the reality of the answer to our prayer. There is a disconnect. And so very simply tonight, I want to try to go back to some basics of faith. Maybe I'll continue next week, depends on how far I get this week, how far I do with my message tonight. But certainly I want to develop this idea in the weeks ahead. Because I want for us to be those people who have confidence in God's word, who have that faith for the impossible. So that again, when we're talking about praying for the sick, we have that boldness to pray for somebody to see them healed. When we have a situation in our own lives, we pray with that confidence that God is going to answer for his glory. So this is where I'm coming from tonight. I want to see the impossible made possible. The reality of that in our lives. So we'll talk about faith. A few things about faith to introduce what I want to start to talk about tonight. Number one would be that without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Three things that this verse tells us, then, isn't there? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's number one, because anyone who comes to him must believe. That's number two, that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right, well, we're winning here. I hope we're winning with some of these anyway, because one of the requirements of faith is that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Right, so that pleases God that when you come to him, you believe that he exists because you are actually praying to him. So we can, not that we're ticking boxes tonight, but we can be encouraged that, yeah, okay, we can say that that's okay with us because we believe in God. And then that last one is that he exists and that he believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have to come to that point where we actually believe that when we seek him, he will answer us. I've got another version up here. It says, a man can't please God unless he has faith. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is. That one must also know that God gives what is promised to the one who keeps on looking for him. And we must have that confidence not only that God exists, but actually that he answers. So when we pray, when we come to him in faith, we believe that he exists, when we believe that he answers. And we please God because we have faith. We believe what he says. It's interesting that it says that no one can please God without faith, which reminds us that it's not about jumping over hurdles or leaping through hoops that pleases him. It's not doing works, it's not doing pilgrimages, it's not ticking the box and having so many days fasting and so many prayers or so many pages of the Bible that you've read in one particular week. It's none of those, it's faith. It's believing that he exists and believing that he will answer us if we call upon him. And it pleases him. Faith pleases him. Faith pleases him when we agree with him. And I just have a very simple illustration here. All illustrations fail, but I just wanted to try to get over to you that how pleased God is when we have faith. And I could only think of it like this, that as a parent, you have all these coloured bricks. Grandparents will know all these coloured bricks that you have, and you have blue ones, you have red ones, you have green ones, and you have yellow ones. And one of the things that you do with your children is that with the coloured bricks, you teach them the different colours. And so you say to your child, what colour is this? And of course, their favourite colour is red, so they say red. And what colour is this red? And you get a blue one out. What colour is this red? No, it's nice yellow. And when they get it right, and when you say, this one, this brick is yellow, what colour is this brick? Red. This brick is yellow. What colour is this brick? Yellow. Hey! There is a delight that the parent has because the child has agreed with what the father has said. And I believe that our Heavenly Father is delighted. He's pleased when we agree with what He says. Because so often, God will say to us, you know, you're healed. What are you? I'm sick. You're healed. What are you? I'm sick. You're healed. What are you? I'm healed. Hey! You're agreeing with God's word. You're having faith in God's word. And we could say not only that regarding sickness and, you know, you're forgiven. What are you?
I'm condemned.
And it goes through like that. And when we agree with God's word, when we agree with what He says, I believe that brings delight to God. And it's impossible to please God without agreeing with Him. So that's just something for you to remember and take home with you tonight. So everything is possible for those who believe. We agree that He exists. And we agree that we must believe that He answers those who seek Him. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, if you're as old as I am, and I'm feeling older every day, that's because I'm getting older every day, but if you're as old as I am and you've been in church circles as long as I have been, there aren't many sermons that you've not heard. There aren't many messages that you've not heard, or many passages in the Bible that you've not heard a message from. And I knew somebody at one point who used to go around the country to conferences. He'd hear these big speakers and he'd go to all these conventions and meetings. And I'd say to him, how'd you get on? What did you reckon? And the first thing he says, I've heard it all before. I've heard it all before. But go away to conferences. He'd come back, I've heard it all before. Well, the very fact that he said he'd heard it all before told me that he hadn't heard it. Because the message hadn't really sunk in. Because if the message had sunk in, he'd be a different person. Amen? But what I'm coming round to saying is that we need to hear the word again and again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The message comes from hearing the message and hearing the message again and again. How many people do you know that need to hear something more than once before they know it? And when they think they know it, there is still something more to learn. And that's with faith. You know, when we read, when we listen to the word of God, there is always something that you will gain from reading it again, from hearing it again. Your faith is inspired by the word of God. It's not inspired by men. It's not inspired by professors or doctors or politicians or what the world has to say. It's inspired by the word of God. And the more we hear it, the more we know it. And no one can ever say that they know enough. When I went to school, with a young man, somebody the same age as me, so a young lad, teenager. When I was at secondary school, this was. And his family had grown up in South Africa, and they were expats in South Africa, but they had come back to England, and he'd come back to school in England, and he was always telling me about South Africa. And one of the conversations that I'd had with him was the fact that they'd always, he was talking about home life, what was it like to live in South Africa, what was it like to... what were the living standards like, and did people speak English, even though English wasn't their native tongue? He says, oh yes, everybody knows English, he says. And they know English by watching all the television programs, the English television programs on the telly. You know, so they sit there night after night watching The Sweeney, who remembers the Sweeney? That's what he was talking to me about. You know, John Thor and... Is it David Waterman? Anyway, Waterman.
Dennis
Waterman, that's right. You know, do you remember that? Good gracious me, we're back in the 70s now, aren't we? He says, everybody can speak English. They learn their English by listening to the English on the television and reading the subtitles, and they get it together, you see. And he says... But the problem is that the English they learn is the English they learn off the telly. So if they've been watching the Sweeney, all right, now you've got to know what the Sweeney is. The Sweeney is an old cops and robbers program based in London. And it was called the Sweeney because it's Sweeney Todd Flying Squad, and it's Cockney rhyming slang, you see. So all the people in the program with John Thor and Dennis Waterman, they were all Cockney rhyming slang, you see, slang. So these South Africans, you see, went into the bank, went across to the teller, and they said, "Give us a pony." "Give us a pony. What do you want a pony for?" "Let me speak to the manager. Give me the dog." "All right, give me the telephone, the dog and bone." And you see, you think that you know English, but they didn't know it. And the only way that you're going to know English is by hearing it again and again and again and again. The way that you learn a language at school, French, Spanish, German, whatever you've learned at school, it's because of repetition and repetition, hearing and hearing. And we know the Word of God. Our faith is inspired by the Word of God, because the more we hear it, the more our spirit, or the more our soul absorbs it, the more our mind absorbs it and is inspired by it. So we can read, "By his stripes we're healed." "By his stripes we're healed." You might be sick. "By his stripes we're healed." "Oh, yeah, yeah." "By his stripes we're healed." "Oh, I wonder whether that means me." Mm-hmm. "By his stripes we're healed." "It does mean me. By his stripes we're healed. I'm healed." And, you know, there's a progression of faith there that was perhaps in 10 seconds, but in reality might have been 10 years or 10 months or 10 weeks. But the more that we meditate upon the Word of God, the more that we read and we hear the Word of God, the more our faith is inspired. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. If you want to know or have more faith, get your head buried in the Word of God. Faith is moved by what God has said. We live by faith and not by sight. So again, we've talked about this in previous weeks, and we're going to say it again. Doesn't matter that I've said it before, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So the more we hear these things, the more these things absorb deep down into our spirits and into our beings, and the more faith is inspired from hearing it again and again. And we've talked that we walk by faith, not by sight. So here what the scripture is saying is that we don't walk according to our five senses. We go according to what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say about this? You know, we might have a pain that might try to convince us to doubt that God is healing us. We might have been prayed for a previous evening, and we go home and the pain is even worse. And you say, "Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to believe the pain, or am I going to believe God's word? Am I going to, by faith, trust God and what his word says, or am I going to believe what my senses tell me? My five: sight, hear, touch, smell. What's the other one? Feel. Taste, yes." We are moved by faith. Faith is moved by what God has said. We walk by faith, not by sight. All right, yes, okay. This is the 10 spies that have come sent into Canaan. Did I use this illustration last week? I've used it recently anyway. 12 spies are sent out into the promised land by Moses. And... they come back, and the 10 come back, and they say, "What we have seen with our eyes is that the people who occupy this land are big. They are so big that we look like grasshoppers in our sight. The cities are heavily fortified and well protected. There is no way that we can overcome them. See, what they're doing is that they are basing their opinion, they are basing what they're by what they're saying, upon what they see with their eyes. Whereas Joshua and Caleb come back saying, yeah, okay, it is true, they're big. It's true that the cities are well fortified. It's true that they're well protected. But it's also true that our God is on our side. And with God's help, nothing is impossible. And you see, what they were doing is that they weren't looking with their sight. They were looking to God. Faith is based upon what God says, not what our senses tell us. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. That is the amplified version. And really, I put this scripture here, is that it is a walk of faith. Because it's not something that we do when we come on a Sunday night. And it's good that we come on a Sunday night. It's good that we come and encourage our one another's faith. It's good that we come and build one another up in God. But listen, when we get home, we don't go back to where we were before we walk through the door. We can come here, and it's great that we've had these testimonies, and other people can give testimonies on other occasions, and we stand up and we raise up our hands and we say, Lord, that you are great, nothing's impossible for you, Lord. We believe it. And we get home, and suddenly we start whining and griping and complaining, and oh, this is never going to work out. This is never going to happen. Whoa. This is what we're like. We need to be consistent in our faith. We need to walk by faith. The righteous, what's the next one? We walk and live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. That's Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17 is quoting Habakkuk 2:4. We don't come to church and play games. We don't play church. We believe what we say, and it should be outworked in our daily lives, not just on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning. So we walk and we live by faith. Faith speaks. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. How do we know whether we are walking in faith or not? Just listen to what we say. Because out of the abundance of our heart, so our mouth speaks, says the scriptures also. We say what we believe. And if we believe everything is hopeless and everything is going to turn out in a mess and that there is no way forward and it's all disaster zone that's just going to get worse and worse. If we believe that, that is what we're going to be speaking out all the time. But actually, if we believe in God and say, I'm believing, Lord, he's just going to prosper me and he's going to be on my side, he's going to bless me, he's going to keep me fit and he's going to enable me to be the child of God that he's destined me to be. He's equipped me with his spiritual gifts. He wants me to move in power. He wants me to share the gospel with other people. He wants me to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. That is the kind of words that demonstrate what you believe in your heart. Now you might say to yourself, well, actually, Ian, you've just demonstrated to me that what's coming out of my mouth is a load of fear. Well, that should not condemn you. I'm not wanting to condemn you. I'm wanting to encourage you and inspire you to think about what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. And if you're hearing nothing but fear coming out your mouth, get your head buried in the Word of God. Start reading reading the Word of God and let Him inspire your faith. And start thinking of what He says, believing what He says, rather than what you see and what the world says. If our words are not matching up with what we are believing, we're not believing them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of its words. You know, so if we're saying it's hopeless and it's hopeless and it's hopeless, it doesn't give God anything to work with. All it gives is the devil to some gives something to work with. Because God might say to the devil, you know, why is all this horrible stuff happening to these people? What are you doing? He just turns back and says, this is what they've asked for. It's hopeless, it's hopeless. What are you asking for? Are you asking for terrible things? Are you believing for terrible things? Or are you believing for good things? Because the word, our words have consequences. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that which they say will happen, it will be done for them. We've spoken about this recently in the past. We might speak about it and again in the future, in the future weeks. But let me see if I can get this, if I can say this and get it right. You won't get what you... I'll have to read it. You're not going to get what you pray until you say what you pray. You're not going to get what you pray until you say what you pray. You see, if you pray, oh Lord, heal me, and then you say, you go out and say, oh, this is hopeless, I'm never going to be healed, you're not going to get it. If you believe, if you pray and say, Lord, I believe that you're a healer, and you say, yes, thank you, Jesus, I'm just waiting to receive that manifestation of healing in my life. Amen. It gives God something to work with. It's faith. It is trusting in Him. It's not faking it and saying stuff we don't believe, but it is saying what we do believe. If our faith is not at the point where we can speak faith-filled words, let's guard our lips by not speaking words that speak fear and destroy our faith. And here's something else as well, because we're all different at different points regarding our faith. I remember once hearing somebody saying, oh, if I hear that person say that they are believing that God's going to heal them again, I'm going to scream. And literally what that person is at, she's not at that wall. That person wasn't at the point that person who was at that was believing God for the healing. And if you can't believe what that other person is trusting God for and has confidence for, don't try and pull them down with your words. Just say, thank you, Lord. Help me to have that same confidence that person has in you. So often it's easy to ridicule and pull people down who've got faith. Instead of doing that, why don't we say to ourselves, let's not pull them down, but let's see how we can build ourselves up. Faith appropriates what God has already said and done. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. So when we pray, when we have faith, we are appropriating what God has already done by grace. So when we, for example, receive our salvation, we are appropriating what Jesus has already done for us on the cross by grace. When we appropriate our healing, or we have faith for our healing, we are appropriating that which Jesus has done for us on the cross. Faith appropriates the blessings that are ours as a result of grace. We cannot appropriate anything in faith by something which is outside of God's grace. Let me explain what I mean. If I said to myself, be careful how I express this, if I said to myself, okay, I believe in Jesus' name that the man next door is going to leave his wife, he's going to divorce her, and I believe in Jesus' name that I'm going to get married to her instead. Now, that is not provided for in grace. I'm sorry if I've disappointed someone here, but that is not provided for in grace. It's not part of what God wants for us to claim, because it can't be claimed, because God didn't die on the cross so that we could get the man next door divorced and marry his former wife. We can only appropriate that which has been provided for by grace. We can only appropriate that which is promised in God's word. We can only appropriate that which is, you know, in principle, a blessing that God wants for us to have. Faith appropriates God's word. God's grace is God providing in abundance. Faith is me accepting that, yielding to that, and appropriating that. So, we've looked at faith appropriates what God has already said and done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith is that which pleases God, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And the just shall live by faith. They shall walk by faith. So we've looked at all those things. We please God by believing him, believing that he's going to answer our prayers. If we want to have our word, have our faith inspired, it's by the word of God and reading that again and hearing that again. And we walk by faith, not by what the world says. Our faith isn't based upon what the doctor says, upon what the world says, upon what the teacher says, what the academic says, what the politician says, what the pop star or the princess says. It's based upon God's word. And we can only appropriate that which is provided for in grace. But simply because God's goodness and his grace is so good, that's good. It's not bad. It's not limited. Everything really that we need to live is provided for us in grace. Three cooperating factors that work with faith. Number one, hope. We can only have faith if we have hope. That's why the enemy wants to dash our hopes. You heard that expression, all my hopes have been dashed. Well, the enemy wants to dash our hopes because he doesn't want to give substance to our hopes. And that substance to our hopes is faith. So, I want to encourage you to dream dreams. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will give dreams and visions to us. And I want to encourage you to in your time before the Lord, to allow him to inspire your hopes and your dreams. Allow him to inspire a dream within your heart with what God wants to do in your life, what God wants to do in the church, what God wants to do through you, what God wants to do in your life. Because unless you have a hope, there is nothing that faith can provide substance to. When you're in your car, when you're turning up the air conditioning, that's not a very good illustration. I need to use the illustration of turning the heating up, and I changed it to air conditioning in the car because I thought talking about heating in this weather wouldn't be good, but I'm going to have to stay with heating, all right? So at home, we've got one of those remote controls. You know, remote controls for your central heating, you got those where you have a little gizmo that you have by your coffee table. And if you want to turn the heat up to 25 because Lynn and Alan are coming round. If you want to, if you want, eh?
You're always cold.
Yeah. If you want to turn your thermostat up to 26, you turn the dial up. That is your hope. That is your hope. You're setting your hope to 26 degrees. And what your central heating boiler does, it provides the substance to your hope, the faith. You have faith in the boiler to get it going. It's important that when we set our dial, that you use your remote control somewhere near the boiler, otherwise it loses contact, all right? And the reason why it loses contact, because it's nowhere near the boiler. And really what I'm saying is that our hopes need to be near God. They have to be founded in God's word. So it's not just you dreaming anything. It has to be founded in God's word. Have hope. look to God to give you visions and dreams. What, Lord, do you want me to do? Open my eyes to the marvelous things you want to do in my life. Give me some encouragement and show me what you want me to do. And you know, sometimes we can sit here with all our aches and pains and what have you. Lord, give me a hope that this can turn around. Faith starts with hope. If you don't have any hope, God does not have anything to work with. Oh, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. But then also something else that we need is love. In Jesus Christ there is no validity in either circumcision or uncircumcision. It is a matter of faith which expresses itself in love. And I think I did share with this with you last week in the scripture that says perfect love casts out all fear. And we need, before faith can really work, we need to be reassured of God's love for us. Because if we're unsure of God's love, we are unsure that God is so gracious and so bountiful that he wants to answer us. It goes back to that first scripture that we can't please God without believing that he exists and he wants to give the people the answers to what they're asking. So many people have this idea that, you know, that God is a reluctant God and that he's after them and he's a God of wrath who wants to punish them. But God is a God of love. And he wants you to rest that love and know that love and be assured that he is love to you. I don't know whether I can express this in a way that you can understand. Is that people can have love. You know, you can have a pint of love or you can have a gallon of love. But when God talks about love, he doesn't say, I'm going to give you a measure of love. I'm going to give you love. Because God is love. And God doesn't give you a portion of himself. He just gives you himself. Completely. We need a revelation of that. We need to meditate upon that God has given himself to you. He's not given you a little bit of love. He's not given you even more love. He's just given or that measure. He hasn't given you a measure of love. He has given himself to you. And that should inspire your faith. It should give you that confidence to pray that nothing can come in between you and God. Even death can't separate you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand why I'm so full of fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. You don't understand why I'm so full of fear because I've only got 6 months to live. I'm dying. So, you're going to be with the Lord? Are you frightened about being with the Lord? No, you shouldn't be because for me to die is to gain, said Paul. So even death should not cause us to fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And when we have that confidence of knowing God's love for us, we know that nothing can separate us from God's love. No weapon formed against us can harm us. Nothing can come in between us and God. And it gives you that boldness to step out. It's a bit like... you know, the early Christian martyrs, they were not afraid to witness. They weren't afraid to pray for the sick. They weren't afraid to pray and see miracles happen. They weren't afraid to rise from the dead because they weren't afraid of the consequences. They weren't afraid of what might happen. They said, the worst thing that could happen to us if we pray for the sick and they're healed and the authorities don't like us, they could martyr us. And they did martyr them. But that didn't stop them, because they knew that even if they died, they were with the Lord, because nothing can separate them from the love of God. And I tell you, we need to get a revelation of this, because we live in fear. We live in fear of people. We live in fear of what people might say, or what people might think, or what people might do. We need a revelation of God's love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And when we know that God's love is with us, nothing is impossible. oh, this is it. Then the world will know that you've sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. This is amazing. Okay, so who agrees that God loves Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, we all agree that God loves Jesus. And Jesus here is saying, he's praying that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So he's praying that they would know that God loves us in the same way that he loves Jesus. Well, Jesus was perfect and Jesus didn't do anything wrong and Jesus was his only son. No, it doesn't say that he loved them any different. He loved them exactly. God loved us exactly the same as Jesus. And, you know, when you think about it, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die an awful death so that we might be saved. That is the love that God has for us. Talking about meditating upon the word and thinking about the word, there's a lot of scriptures here that you can think about tonight and meditate tonight. You know, this will blow your mind that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. God gave himself completely to Jesus. God gives himself completely to us because God is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Anytime I fear something, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of obstacles, fear of death, I'm not perfected in God's love. We need to get a greater revelation of our love, and that love will not stop us from doing anything then. Okay, I've jumped. Ooh, good gracious me. Okay, one last point and I'm done. Oh, good gracious me. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Faith and patience are linked. The minute you pray, who knows that sometimes it's answered in 5 minutes, it's answered in 5 hours, it's answered in 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, 50 years. There is a time period between the time you pray and the time you see the answer to your prayer. In that time, patience is required. In that time, we need to stand firm in God. The enemy will come against you and say, you're not really forgiven. You're not really healed. God didn't really come, it didn't really promise to bless you. Look at everybody else. They've got all their prayers answered. You haven't. They've been praying for 5 minutes and they've got their prayer answered. You've been praying for 5 years and you're still waiting. That means there must be something wrong with you. That means that your prayers are no good. That means that I don't love you. And we get all these doubts that come thrown at us by the devil. But I tell you what, whether we have to wait 5 hours or 5 months or 5 years, we need to stand firm on the promises of what God says. Not what the doctor says, not what the world says, not what anybody else says, but be patient, trusting in God's word. I don't know, it amazes me sometimes that people can go to a doctor, and the doctor is not a believer. The doctor, you don't know him, you don't know his lifestyle, you don't know anything about him, but he says, your situation is hopeless. And you come out of the doctor's surgery and you say, my situation is hopeless. And you believe somebody that you don't know and you don't know their background and somebody who's not even a doctor, even a believer. And yet we come and look at the word of God which says, by his stripes we're healed, and we say, oh, not so sure if I can believe that. Let's start believing what God says, because his word is faithful. He is the one who says, who keeps his promises. He is the faithful God. I've said enough. I'm not going to go in anymore. But I want to encourage you to have faith in God's word, in the word of God. If you're struggling with faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith needs hope to work with. Be inspired, get some hopes up in words, in the Word of God. Make sure that you know that you're loved by God. And when we pray, let's be patient until we see the answer. Amen. Amen. Amen.